Hello everyone and welcome back to the final episode of Fringe Fridays, where we have been celebrating over the past 6 weeks the life of Fringe Theatre. And to finish off our series, we are chatting to companies from the Thornhill Theatre Space Worldwide Virtual Fringe Festival, which has been taking place over the whole of August and the start of September. And to start off with this final episode, we are chatting to Ryan Thornhill, who is the founder of the Thornhill Theatre Space and the Worldwide Virtual Fringe Festival itself.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the Stage of X.
Hey, Elliot. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. So, Ryan, this is amazing. So what you've been doing over August, you've set up with the Thornhill Theatre Space, your own worldwide fringe festival with artists from all over the world. Tell me a little bit about why you set up the Festival Fringe, because I've been watching some of the plays that you've had on and it's just been such an array of different art forms. Tell me a little bit about why you set up the Worldwide Theatre Fringe.
Well, it originally started, when all the pandemic had started here in China, even before where it started, back over in the West, I saw the opportunity to jump on board and explore this new medium of digital theater. So I started it out with just a simple live stream table reads on my Facebook page from around the world, UK, US, Australia, New Zealand, taking short plays that people had written and then just live streaming. So I did that for quite a few weeks. And then I noticed that a lot of companies from around the world were jumping into that digital format, Zoom plays, podcasts, radio plays, even jumping into their archives and putting videos of past productions online for people to still enjoy. So I saw it as an opportunity based on the worldwide following that I had started getting from my couch readings to be a platform where I could take these productions, put them on my Facebook page, and then get them kind of a worldwide audience and allow people to still be able to enjoy theater while everybody was stuck at home and we couldn't go to, the physical space to watch and enjoy it.
That's great because, what you do with the Fringe is that, you pull it all onto one platform for everyone to see. So it's not like we're having to, constantly go to like different pages to go and see all these different shows because they're all coming to the one space. So easy for us to find, like it's so perfectly fitted within everyone watching it. Like it's fantastic. And I know that you do a lot of Facebook Lives as well and a lot of streaming, which is fantastic. When you're watching these shows, everyone's watching it together, which is really lovely.
That's correct. Yeah. And you get the real-time commenting where if somebody wanted to start a discussion with somebody else watching it. And even to the point where I've discussed with companies that even if they did pre-record it on Zoom, just to kind of get around the whole technical side of, internet cutting out and stuff, they don't edit it if they don't have to. So that it does still have that live theater feel to it. So, we're still trying to experience it as closely as normal as we can.
Yeah, and going on to that live commenting and people being able to talk to the artists and stuff, throughout the whole Fringe, what have you found that audiences have enjoyed and how lovely is the aspect that audiences can contact the artists and stuff?
It's funny because what it really comes down to is where it's from. What time it is, you got to really sit down, especially on the organizational side of it for me and figure out when's going to be the best time for this to premiere. And the viewership is higher on weeknights than it is on weekends, which I found odd because you would think, people would have more times to do it on weekends, even if they are working from home or doing anything like that. But I will say that the higher viewed ones are visual ones versus a podcast or a radio play. Yeah. I think people like to visually see, what's going on. But I'd also just had one the other day that was pre-recorded audio, but they had an artist come in and sketch what would be happening on stage scene by scene. And then they edited that in with the audio, which I thought was brilliant and, just completely different from, anything else that I had presented.
Yeah, and I guess the variety of it comes from the culture of each of these countries that you're going to. So can you just give me a little bit of a flavour of what kind of countries that we've gone to in the Fringe so far?
Yeah, so Canada, the United States, England and Scotland, Singapore, Philippines and Australia, really all over the place. I think we've had 2 or 3 days throughout the whole month that didn't have something going on. And then we've just announced an extension into the first week of September, had a bunch more people that wanted to be involved. So, and I like just keeping one company a day and not overshadow one with another. Yeah, it's been mind blowing.
That's incredible. And like you say, the extension is also just shows the successfulness of the whole Fringe, and that people are still wanting to be involved, and that you've got time for them. You know, you've not set that limit of going, we're going to stop at August. For the future of Fallen Hill Theatre Space, I know that we've got a special guest in the room with you today, Ryan. Can you introduce yourself and tell us what the future for Fallen Hill Theatre Space is going through?
Hi, I'm Pedro. Thank you for having me on. I'm mainly on the writing side of things. So I like to write little pieces here and there for theatre and film and other small projects. So before I go into the future, I'll just go a bit into the past. So with the couch readings, it was really cool because you had these writers that had these pet projects that they, you know, the ones that you always push off to the side. But now with the lockdowns, you finally have time for yourself to like invest and spend some time on that. And then Ryan gave us this like really cool platform where artists from around the world, actors, would just volunteer their time to read out our plays and test it out for us to see what was working, what wasn't. It was great. It was like a table read, but there was a lot more back and forth between the writer and the actor about it. Was more of like a really creative process for like everybody involved, where the writer had a chance to go back and work on it and hear it be read at such an early stage that normally you wouldn't. So that was really cool to be a part of. And with this whole Fringe thing, I thought it was quite soon to do something like that because couch readings had just started and I was really enjoying that. Yeah, Ryan proved me wrong. Like, there was such a massive interest for this, like, virtual Fringe. It's really, like, blown everyone's expectations out of the water to the point where we're having an extra week now. It's been interesting to watch as well because this pandemic has been really interesting with projects. So you have these companies that are trying to fit projects they already have for the screen, which has been really interesting to see. But the more this seems to be extended, we're kind of entering this pilot season of things being written for a virtual theatre space. Yeah. So that's something that we're kind of like going into now after the Fringe, where I've written a piece which was initially for a podcast and audio, but we're seeing such interest in visuals that we've decided to write something that is particularly for Zoom, where we're kind of like stepping over the barriers from stage to video but still trying to keep it theatrical, so one day when this all kind of blows over, hopefully it can be adapted to the stage. What I'm writing at the moment is called Self-Help with Tiffany. So Tiffany's an influencer. It's during the pandemic and it's kind of like a utopian future, hopefully, but with the side effects of like people's mental health that has been caused with what's happening at the moment.
Yeah. And what you were just saying there about, you know, you wanting it originally to be a podcast and, you know, more audio piece, and actually you turn it into visual. That clearly shows that you've really learned from what audiences have really gauged from the theatre festival itself. My final question for you guys today, you can both answer it jointly or separately, is why do you think that Fringe Theatre is so important for our industry?
I guess just the ability to be able to have a space to do something with no restriction, where you can test things out that you wouldn't normally on a bigger stage or a stage that you were paying lots of money to perform on. You know, you can go and you can experiment. And that was the one fun thing that I like. You look at old past Edinburgh Fringe or any Fringe, really, Camden Fringe, Orlando Fringe, anything. You just look at the old breakdowns of what's going on. And it's just like such a massive diversity of things. And most of them sound really wacky and crazy. That's what I really like about it, is the ability to have no restrictions and really figure out what works for you as a company.
Fringe is really about innovative theatre, and I don't feel like you can get more innovative or diverse than opening that up to a global spectrum. So it's a learning process. You're meant to see things that you've never seen before. So why not see something that's like 100 miles away that you normally wouldn't see? So yeah. I think Fringe is really important as it is at the moment, but it's exciting to open up to a global platform.
Fantastic. Well, Ryan and Pedro, thank you so much for joining me today. Throughout this episode, we're going to be chatting to different companies that are part of the Fallen Hill Worldwide Theatre Fringe. But for now, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having us, Elliot.
Thanks, Elliot.
And there we go. That was Ryan and Pedro there joining me from China to talk about the importance of Fringe Theatre and the setup behind the virtual Fringe Festival. For the second interview in today's episode, we are heading straight over to the Philippines to chat to Tanya Lopez from the Performance Laboratory.
Hello, Tanya. Welcome to the Stagey Place.
Hello, good morning, good evening. Hello. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your program. We're very happy to be here.
No worries. Just for the listeners, do you want to chat about where you're calling me from today?
We are from the Philippines in Asia, and I come from a city named Bacolod, and that is from the province of Negros Occidental. So it's like an hour on plane from Manila, which is the capital of the Philippines, to our place.
Amazing. and I'm just from the UK. So can you tell me, Tanya, I was just chatting to Ryan about the Thornhill Theatre Space Worldwide Theatre Fringe, which I know that you are a part of. You've got a production in the whole program. Can you tell me a little bit about your production?
Well, we have two monologues entries. It's two excerpts from plays written by local playwrights in our region. The first one is called Tic-Tac-Toe. It's about a writer who is trying to defend his work because there are so many people making suggestions on how to change it. And the other one is an excerpt from a series of monologues that we call Escritorio. Escritorio is a local word for a writing table. And it's about a mother. I think she's doing a video call to her parents and she's from far away and telling them about missing everybody and hoping to come home soon. So those are our two plays that we'd like to offer to the Thornhill Theatre Space.
And what do you expect audiences to take away from the pieces that you're presenting?
Well, we hope to show them a little bit of our culture, that these are things that we value as Filipinos and as Negrenses, and also as theater artists coming from our country, which I think is universal to everybody. Like all of these things that we talked in the play are things that we know are happening all over the world. And it's nice to just share and maybe let the audience feel connected to what we're doing.
Yeah, and chatting to Ryan a minute ago, I was saying, what is so fantastic about the Thornhill Theatre Space and what he's doing at the moment is the way that it is all international and that we're going around to all these different countries to see primarily the culture from all these different countries. So it must be amazing that there's this space for you, this international fringe, that you can put out your work for other people all around the globe to watch. And you know, I know that Ryan has a lot of active followers to all of his productions that he's been putting on. So for you to have an audience from all around the world to see the culture of the Philippines and, you know, your local area, that must be amazing for you.
Yes, very much. We're so excited. But on our end, we're also excited to see what other theater groups are doing from their parts of the world.
Yeah. And why do you think that fringe theater is so important for our industry, whether or not that's for the Philippines or whether or not that's worldwide?
Well, I think fringe theater provides a space for us, our artists, to express our passion and share this passion to fellow artists. At the same time, fringe theater provides us with a platform because we all know that theater is a powerful tool for communication. And for us, it's a good way to connect with others, to stay connected, and to open opportunities for exchange and collaboration. That's how I see it.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. I love the idea of collaboration in fringe theatre, you know, especially over here in the UK, annually, every year that seem to come up and collaborate with different artists. It's so fantastic. Can you just tell me a little bit about the Philippines and the culture, the theatre culture?
Well, in the Philippines, there is what you call the professional theatre, which is mainly in Manila, which is the center for all of these activities. And then we have what you would call as the regional theatre, with our theatre activities happening in the regions. And we also have what you call the university theatre, which is a collaboration among schools. Specifically in the regions where I come from, it is very challenging for theater artists to sustain their craft because there is no formal training. So whatever theater that we have is either just extracurricular that we do in the schools, or it's community theater, just people coming together and just sharing and learning. If you want to do professional theater, then you have to go to Manila. And that's how you get full support, like getting paid for just doing theater work. Especially in our area with my colleague here, Noel, we have to do another job. And then theater is like something that we do on the side because we can't live without theater. that's how we keep ourselves sane and balanced. But that's how it is in most parts of our country.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for just letting me know a little bit about theatre culture, because I think it's really important, because I've been over lockdown, I've been a part of this programme that has, you know, allowed me to see theatre culture in different countries like Germany and Denmark and France. And it's just really eye-opening to find out about different cultures in different countries. So thank you, Tanya, for letting me know a little bit more. And thank you so much for joining me on the stage place today.
Thank you. We're just happy to be here. This is our first Fringe Festival for our group called the Performance Laboratory. We've been in existence for like 12, 14 years, and we've been doing our own productions and mini festivals in our area. But this is the first time that we've been invited to our Fringe, and we're just so excited. And we're very thankful that we're part of this, and we get to know you, and we get to know Ryan, and we get to know more people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I do wish you all the success in all of the performances, and I hope that you get a really good reaction from the pieces as well, because I think it's really important for us to know a little bit more about the international side and the culture in your country. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Tanya Lopez there, joining me from the Philippines to chat about her monologues as a part of the virtual Fringe Festival. And we're now going to chat to Jessie Dupree, who is a company member from Haste Theatre and joins me from the UK.
Hello, Jessie. Welcome to the stage place.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. For listeners who may not know a little bit about you and about the company, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, of course. We're based in London. We're an international company. We've got members from Italy and then from England. We've been together for around 7.5 years now. We met doing a master's in physical theatre, and we formed the company, and we devise our own shows and tour them around the world, going to different fringe festivals. And when there's not a pandemic on, we usually tour around the country and around the world. And we run workshops and do lots of different little things.
Yeah. And one of these projects that you've been doing over lockdown is doing this production for the Thornhill Theatre Space. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're presenting?
Yeah, sure. So it's a performance that we did actually back in 2014, one of our first shows. It's called Beyond Cragporth Rock. And it was recorded when we did a run of it in London. It's quite scarily kind of relevant to nowadays, because it's about these six sisters who live in a house and they haven't gone outside for 10 years because outside the house is like chaos and gangs, and they're just really scared. So they're essentially in their own little lockdown, and they had food stocks with them enough for 10 years, and they're now running out, like at the time of the play. So that is the show that we have brought to the Thornhill Fringe Festival. So it's obviously like a recorded performance on one of the evenings. Yeah, and it's physical theatre. It's got a really great set. So at the end, the set kind of comes apart. I don't want to give too much away, but it's very physical, kind of dark comedy, I would say.
And can you tell me a little bit about why you chose to put this production forwards for Thornhill Theatre Space?
Yeah, so we have recorded quite a number of our shows over the years. We thought this one, we realised this one was potentially quite relevant to nowadays, and it was also kind of then and now, sort of difference between our work then and now, and we thought it'd be interesting for people to see what we were kind of up to in the earlier days as well.
Fantastic. And what do you want audiences to take away from the production? Obviously, like you say, this was staged a couple of years ago, so you probably had quite a good audience reception at the time, you know, people seeing it in person. But what do you expect now with international audiences seeing this piece of work? What would you like them to take away from the performance?
It is a dark comedy, so there's a lot of humour and comedy within the show. So I always feel like I want audiences to have a good time. Like, obviously there are messages and there are loads of different elements of the show, but I think overall it's quite a ridiculous kind of clowny show. And I think when people kind of get the humour, the dark humour, the director that we worked with has quite a dark sense of humour, and she devised it with us. And so I love it when people kind of get that humour and get the like subtleties and the nuances. I don't know if that is completely translated over film, obviously, like over recording. But also, yeah, the physicality obviously would translate kind of the physical nature of the show. So hopefully that could be still very much enjoyed over the recording.
Yeah. And we should say that we're both based in the UK, and fringe theatre for our country can be a really hard time at the moment with everything that's been going on. And obviously there was the cancellation the last week of the Vaults Festival, and then we have the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which has sadly not gone ahead but is going online. Fringe theatre is so important, I think, for our country especially. But for you, why do you believe that fringe theatre is so important?
I think, like, starting off as a company, we first toured to fringe festivals. So the first year that we, like, made our first show, we went to Rome Fringe and then we went to San Diego Fringe. So that was just kind of like the beginning of our journey, and that was the first sort of experience that we had as a company of performing. So we really love performing at fringe festivals. It has such a lovely kind of community aspect, and I think it's just so inclusive as well, because usually the ticket prices aren't super high. It means so many people can come and see shows and, like, take chances on shows that they wouldn't necessarily see if they had to pay, you know, like £60 for a ticket or whatever. So I think, yeah, from that point of view, it's really lovely to just get loads of different people in. And then as an artist, I think it's amazing to have such a huge network. Like, we've met so many people from all around the world, and not just going to San Diego and meeting American people, but going to San Diego and meeting people from everywhere, or going, you know, going to Prague and meeting people from Australia, and just that they're so connecting. And yeah, obviously Edinburgh is like a huge place to meet people as well, and you just make so many connections. And I think you then, it's not just about meeting people there and then, but those kind of connections and relationships definitely carry on. And even over lockdown also was a great example of how those connections can kind of carry on. We did a online project and loads of people that we'd met from around the world got involved just because it was online, and it was just so nice to kind of, obviously it's a difficult time, but it was nice to have all of those bit, like, have kind of the jigsaw pieces fit together. It was really lovely.
Amazing. Well, you know what, because I think, you know, we've been running this series now for a couple of weeks now. What's really nice to know is about, like, the international feel, and hearing Ryan and hearing Tanya earlier on from the Philippines talk about international fringe as well. I think it's so lovely to know that it's just universal all around the world, that camaraderie that everybody has for each other. Yeah. who take shows up to the fringes around the world. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Jesse, thank you so much for coming onto the Stage Place today. For people who want to find you on social media with your company, whereabouts can they contact you?
So all of our handles are basically at Haste Theatre. So yeah, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Haste Theatre. Then our website is hastetheatre.com.
Amazing. Well, we'll link all of that anyway when the episode goes live. And again, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
That was Jesse Dupree there from Haste Theatre talking about Beyond Cragpawth Rock, which is the submission for the Virtual Fringe Festival. And now we're going to head over to the USA for our final interview with Tom Stewart from Lonesome Whistle Productions.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. For the listeners out there, can you just let us know whereabouts you're calling us from?
I am in Chula Vista, California, which is a small city in South San Diego, although I'm sure it's the last voice you'd expecting to be coming from there, as I'm originally from the UK. I'm calling in from Southern California.
And how is the weather over there? Because over here in the UK, it is terrible.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a heat wave, which sounds good unless you have to sort of sit in your home all day with it, with limited air conditioning.
Yeah. And you're on the Stage Place today because we're talking about the Thornhill Theatre Space Worldwide Theatre Festival, which you are a part of, and you've got one of your productions that you did recently. So can you tell me a little bit about your company and the production that you put on for the festival?
Yeah, starting off with a company, Lonesome Whistle Productions is our name. We are dedicated to developing innovative solo theatre. So we are a platform for devising one-person shows that go beyond the biographical and sort of reinvent the form from the ground up. And really, our mission to do that has really just been underlined by COVID and quarantine, because there's an even greater need now to experiment with different forms of theatre. So, you know, we've made the move into virtual theatre and exploring what that means. But that was kind of built into our mission from the get-go. The production that we offered is called The Bond Show, and it's a whistle-stop tour of all 25 and a half Bond films performed by one actor and condensed into 1 hour of stage time. It's kind of a mixture of fan art, parody, political critique, and that's the piece.
Yeah, and you've already performed it as part of the festival. Can you tell me what you wanted audiences to take away from the production and what the audience reaction was like to the piece?
Yeah, in general, I'm trying to do a show that it is stands up on its own as a piece of, I guess, theatrical comedy. For those who are fans or, you know, longtime viewers of the Bond films, there's also a great pleasures to be had there. Doing it as a virtual piece is, you know, I really wanted to come across how flexible this show is, that it really can be one person in their home performing this. We've had various versions of this that have had very elaborate production values, but you can compact it down to one person quite literally, you know, literally in the front room of their house with a few posters around them. You know, so I wanted that kind of, to sort of how grassroots it is, I guess, as a piece of theater, even though the subject matter is very, very grand and spectacular. So I like that dynamic. And the reaction to it, very favorable. I think what comes across to people, and this is true for like every time I've done it, is how breathless the show is. We have a lot to get through in a very short amount of time. You know, it requires a very rapid performance style, which some people have kind of compared to the stand-up of Robin Williams and how he kind of incorporates lots of different subject matters and references in one kind of performance body. But I was very conscious of this being more global than I've encountered before, and it's a nice fit for the Bond movies, which are extremely international and cosmopolitan. For every time I perform this or put on a new production of it, I try to both acknowledge the medium, whatever the medium or the platform that we're working in is, and also what, you know, who the audience is. So it's a very Americanized piece, and because that's how it was developed through American fringe festivals and like local theaters, local to South San Diego. And so it was interesting to kind of shift that out and think, you know, what are the references that, how do we universalize this? Which is an interesting thing, because that's what the Bond films are working on that level anyway.
Yes. And being from the USA, but you saying that you've lived in the UK previously before this, why do you think fringe theater is so important? And what is the fringe scene like in the USA?
Well, I think it's important because, firstly, because of its emphasis on new work, the most direct ways to put work out there with the least amount of development, least amount of resources, and also the kind of least amount of patronage, I suppose. You know, it's a direct vehicle for, you know, if you have a show, even if it's in its infancy, you can put it out there. The way fringe festivals have developed, they produce work that's very experimental, very multimedia, which is something that my company's very interested in. It's a lot of different art forms and media pushing against each other in one festival. And I think it's really beneficial for people who are working in all forms of live performance art to see what the other's doing. That goes for the international scale of it as well. You know, you get to see what is happening in different parts of the world, in, you know, in the world of fringe or in the world of theater, or just, you know, what artists are up to. And you tend to see the most interesting examples of theater in whatever country is being represented, because it's the edgiest stuff, it's the most innovative stuff, typically. The fringe scene throughout the USA is pretty big. The San Diego International Fringe Festival, which is where the Bond show debuted 3 years ago, is actually the world's only, or one of the only, bi-national fringe festivals. So it's the San Diego International Film Festival, but they do performances over the border into Mexico and Tijuana. There's a great deal of cultural exchange there. We're able to exploit the border to kind of bring artists together from both Mexico and America in a really interesting way. We've not kind of toured this show around. We very nearly did at one point. There are real fringe hubs throughout country. The stumbling block, I think, is just recognition of what fringe is as an idea. I mean, obviously you go to Edinburgh and it's been embedded in their consciousness since the 1960s.
Yeah.
But a lot of the festivals that I'm looking at when throughout America or throughout California are in their infancy of a few years. So we're still in the stage where we're trying to communicate to people what that means. You know, if I was just to say fringe festival, I'd probably, to the majority of people, still have to explain, you know, what that means as an idea. That's a big difference. But there's also a lot of opportunity there, because you don't need to, in all these festivals, you can kind of define yourself from the ground up. There are theater festivals that go over, that are just one weekend. There are festivals that the San Diego one is 11 days. So it's interesting to sort of see those differences, but certainly there's definitely no formula for American Fringe festivals. You know, they come in all shapes and sizes. I think that's a good thing and definitely provides more opportunities for performers.
Amazing. Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining me on the Stage Flex today. People who want to contact you on social media or find your company, whereabouts can we contact you?
Lonesome Whistle Productions, we have a Facebook page, Twitter account, and Instagram. So any or all of those will lead you to me. We also have a YouTube channel.
Amazing. And obviously, what are you looking to move on to next? What other film franchise are you going to be taking a stab at?
I'm trying to find a way into the Rocky movies, if that's through Stallone or the movies themselves, but I think there's something to be there. I mean, Stallone is a fascinating figure, smart person who plays stupid, which is something that's very appealing to me as a performer. So I want to find some way to exploit that, and that may be the next step, but I don't know how to do that theatrically yet. These things kind of present themselves over time, and you just have to be ready to accept them.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Tom, for joining me on Stage Place.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
And there we go. That was the final episode of Fringe Fridays, celebrating the virtual Fringe Festival, which you can follow on Instagram at Thornhill Theatre Space. We'll be back later on this year with some amazing guests to add to our main series. But until then, my name's been Elliot. You've been listening to The Stagey Place. And I hope you're keeping safe, and I look forward to hear from you soon.